1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that is within you. The idea there is be ready to give an answer, to defend what you believe, to defend the truths from God's Word. There are going to be times when you have to stand for the truths of the Bible. We're thinking about truths like salvation simply by grace through faith. There are people who say different things. When you'll have to stand and say that it's simply by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. You'll have to do that sometimes. There are times when you're going to have to say, no, this is God's Word. It is perfect. It is accurate and true. You have to stand. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Can you go to the Word of God? Can you go to the Scripture and defend the faith of the Bible? Defend the truths of the Bible. I got a call from one of the guys in our church last week. Several people came to his door bringing a different message. He was able to go to the Word of God to show them truth, to show where what they were teaching was contrary, was different from what the Bible taught. Could you do the same thing? Could you be ready to defend the faith? This is often called apologetics. It comes from a Greek word, apologia, which means to make a defense. Paul mentions his defense in this morning's passage. He states that the Philippians are actually partners with him as he defends his faith before the Roman government. May we be partners as we seek to defend the faith even in this community. As we continue this morning, we're seeing, of course, the introduction to the letter. And last time we saw the greeting, Paul said Paul and Timothy was writing to the believers in Philippi, and he mentioned the overseers and the deacons. And then we move, as he move into this letter, beginning about verse 3, going through 11, is in a section dealing with prayer. In fact, that's what he's going to talk about, and we'll see that for the next several weeks. And let me show you how we're going to break it down. First of all, this morning, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8, where he talks about his thankfulness for these believers. And he gives us two reasons. We'll see that in a minute. And then next week, we're going to look at verses 9, 10, and 11, which is actually a prayer, Paul. In fact, when Paul talks about he prays for the Philippians, we see in verses 9, 10, 11 exactly what he prays. And as we look at that next week, we're going to see how we can pray for each other as well. Now, this morning, in those verses 3 through 8, he talks about his thankfulness for these fellow believers and how they are in partnership with him. You know, sometimes we don't remember this. We don't realize we're all in this thing together, that we're members of the body of Christ, that we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been placed in the body. We are here to serve God, and we're to serve God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says there's one body with many members. Each one of us have different gifts, abilities, and talents. We're to be working together in the ministry, and the ministry of proclaiming Jesus Christ to this world. Paul, in his letter at the very beginning, thanks God for the partnership of the Philippians. Let me break this passage down for you this morning. 3 through 8 is what we're going to see. And in verses 3 and 4, we see his thankfulness, how he thanks God for them. We'll go through these very quickly because we looked at verses 3 and 4 last week. Then in verses 5, 6, and 7, and this is going to be the key because this is where he talks about this partnership that they have with him. Partnership in the gospel and partnership in defending the faith. And we'll see those two things. And then finally, we'll look at the very end of this little section, verse 8, where he talks about how much he loves them. And you know, that's a big thing, and we'll see that as we tie it into in our study. Let's begin. Paul begins by talking about his thankfulness. He talks about how he is thankful to God for these Philippians. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Now, he starts off by saying how he thanks God for them. And as I said a while ago, we saw these verses last week, so we'll go verses 3 and 4 fairly quickly. But he says, I thank God whenever I think about you. That's what he says. Do you realize that Paul was used by God to touch these people's lives, and they were used by God to touch Paul's life? Just an incredible thing there. And so he says, you know, whenever I think about you, I thank God for you. I want you to stop for just a minute and think about those whom you are thankful for. That there are those that God has used in your life to touch your life. And right now you could stop and you could say, you know, I am thankful for those people. How about the person who led you to Christ? Who told you about Jesus Christ? You're thankful for that person, or the person that helped you grow and begin to understand the Bible, the person who was there and spent time with you, the person who invested their life in your life. Thank God for them. In fact, this week, as you go through your quiet times, as you go through your study, take the time this week, write down some of those names, and thank God for those people. Thank God for those people who were used by Him in your life. Well, Paul says, I thank God for you. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. And then he says, and I pray for you. And that's important. Look at verse 4. We saw this last time. He says, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Now, the way it's written in the Greek, he says, I am always continually offering prayer for you. He prayed for them. In fact, if you look at the Bible, Paul prayed for a lot of people. And if you take the time to go through his letters, his prayer list is so long. I mean, he mentions in almost every letter people that he's praying for on an ongoing basis. And if you think about it, here's a guy that went on three missionary journeys, wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, did all of these things, and yet he had time to pray. In fact, what he did is he took time to pray. One of the most important things that we can do for each other is to pray for each other. And may we be doing that. Paul says, every time I think about you, I thank God for you. And I pray for you on an ongoing basis. Beginning at verse 5, he then gives us some reasons why he is thankful for these believers. And there are two things here. They're in a partnership with him. And he says, I thank God because of your partnership, first in the gospel ministry, and second, in the defense of the faith. And we're going to look at those two things, and they're very valuable. And we'll see how he was thankful to God for the fact that they were partners with him in the gospel, and they were partners with him in defending the faith. Let's look at the first one. You go back really to verse 3, because it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you as I pray for you. And here's what he's thankful for, verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, in view of your participation. That's sort of a different word for us, but the word literally means fellowship or partnership. It comes from the Greek word koinonia, which is the word that we get communion from. He basically says, listen, I am thankful for your partnership in the gospel, in the sharing of the good news. In fact, notice he says, from the first day until even now. He is thankful because they are partners with him in the spread of the good news message. I mean, they help Paul to spread the message. Now, let's think about it. How did they do it? First of all, they helped send Paul. Now, you realize that when Paul went to Philippi, he led these people to Christ. He led the Lydia to Christ. He led the Philippian jailer to Christ. The church was formed, and then he left there. And when he left, they helped him leave. They sent him money. They helped him go. You know, he would travel away and he would leave and he would go to a place and he would start a church and he would go to another place. He would start another church. He did this over and over. How did he make it? We find out that this church helped send him. They saw that he was going places and telling people about Jesus, and they were partners with him in the spread of the gospel because they helped him go. I want you to see this. Just turn a couple of pages in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, almost to the very end of the letter. Philippians 4, look at verses 15 and 16 where we see what Paul says about these guys, how they helped him. Verse 15, and you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, when I first preached the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. He said, no other church actually helped me go except you. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my need. He says, even after I left, you continually helped me keep traveling around telling people about Jesus. Turn back to chapter 1. He says, more than once you sent things. In fact, one of the reasons for this letter is Paul is writing them now in the Philippian letter and thanking them for another gift that they have sent to him. So, humanly speaking, they helped Paul in taking the message of Jesus Christ throughout that whole part of the world. Now, I want you to understand something. You do the same thing. You can do exactly the same thing. You can help with the spread of the message of Jesus Christ through this world. I want you to realize that when you give to Countryside, then part of the money, part of the things that you give goes to people who are all throughout this world telling people about Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but Countryside supports 17 different mission organizations. If you take the time, we've got a bulletin board over there and a bulletin board back there that gives our missions and the people that we support. You help people stay in Estonia, in Mexico, in Sri Lanka, and some other parts of the world. You are helping that. You are helping people be able to go there and tell people about Jesus Christ. So you are a partner in the same way that Paul said that the Philippians were partners with him in the spread of the gospel because they helped him go. You are partners in the spread of the gospel as you are helping other people go. So that's the first thing. But there's a second way that they were partners in the gospel, not only sending Paul, but they personally shared the message of Christ themselves. That's what they did. In fact, Philippians 2:12, don't turn there, but it says that you've always obeyed. You've always worked out your salvation. You've always told people about Jesus Christ and lived righteously and godly. See, they were proclaiming, not only in the city of Philippi, but in that whole region, they personally told people about Jesus Christ. They were faithful. And once again, you can do the same thing. Because even though you can't go to Mexico or Estonia or some other parts, you are right here, and you are right here right now. And this is where God has you, and He has me. And we have the opportunity that we can tell people right in this community where God has us about Jesus Christ. And the people we work with, the people we live with, the neighborhoods, our jobs, all of those things, we can share our faith. We can tell people about Jesus Christ. And we are partners in the spread of the gospel message. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you, I pray for you, in view of the fact that you are partners in the gospel from the first day until now. Are we faithful to proclaim the good news in this community? I know it's sort of a scary thing to do, to share your faith. That's why you need to feel confident on what exactly the message is and how to share it, so that when the opportunities come, because what we do is we're gathered together to worship and to be trained, and then we are scattered out in this community to take the message of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. We must do that. So he says, I thank God every time I remember you because of your sharing, your partnership in the gospel. And notice what he says, from the first day until even now. We'll talk more about that in just a second, because it's not only at the very beginning they were with him, but even to that very moment. Now, before we go a little further, I want you to think about the gospel for a second. If you've been at Countryside for any length of time, you've heard me say this a number of times. And you may say, well, I think I know that. Good, good, because we got to know it. And that is the gospel. And let's think about it just briefly, just for a second. What is this gospel? Because literally the word gospel means good news. That's what it means, the good news. And there are really two things to think about. One, the message. And number two, the response. The message is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Don't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I make known to you the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The gospel is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for our sins, and rose again. That is our message. We are to go into this community and we're to tell people that God so loved them that He sent His Son to come to this earth and die on the cross and pay for sin and rise again. That's the gospel message. Now, what's the response? What do we want people to do? We want them to believe. We want them to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in Him as their Savior. As Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It is that simple. Now, so many people add to it, so many people confuse it, so many people distort it, but the bottom line is that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and all who will trust in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It is that simple. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe upon His name. Truly, truly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into condemnation, but has passed out of death to life. Those are just a few verses, 154 places in the New Testament where it says, faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's our message. And so here we are, partners in the spread of the gospel. We help send people, and we ourselves get to proclaim the good news message. See, let me say this over and over. It's got to be very clear, and it's simply faith. Because people, when they reject Jesus Christ, they believe anything. And so we got to be clear in our message. Because people will believe anything. Listen, I saw this the other day. There were some tabloids. I read this somewhere. Here's some tabloids in the United States that people believe. It said this on the front of the tabloid. Woman gives birth to two-year-old baby. Baby walks and talks in 3 days. People believe that. Listen to this one. Another one. World War II bomber found on the moon. People believe that. They think, you know, there's a bomber. It was on the moon. How did they get there? I don't know. They believe that. Woman gave birth. Two-year-old baby. Walked and talked in 3 days. People will believe almost anything. If we have the privilege of telling the message, we better be very clear so that they can understand the truth. So they can believe the truth. We are partners in that sense. So he says, I thank God because in the view of your partnership in the gospel, and notice, from the first day until now, literally in the Greek it says, unto the now, which means from the very beginning of the ministry until up to that present time where he wrote this letter, he says, you have been a part of this whole thing. we are to have our part in our partnership in sharing the good news. Billy Graham said, "The harvest is always urgent. The destiny of men is being decided. Every generation is strategic. We are responsible for our generation." So Paul is thankful that they are partners in this thing. This is the second thing. Paul not only is thankful, but he knows that God is going to continue to use these people. Look what he says, verse 6. Let me read it to you. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul is confident that God is going to continue to work through these people. You know, as I said at the beginning of our study, that as we go through the book of Philippians, there are going to be all kind of verses that we know that are famous verses, and one of the key things we want to do is make sure we see them in context. This is one of those famous verses. "He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ." That's a song even. What's the flow of the passage? He says, first of all, "I thank God of your partnership in the gospel from the beginning until right now. For I am confident of this very thing, that the one who began this good work in you is going to bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." He knows God is going to keep using these people. He says, "I'm confident of this thing." The word confident literally is, "I have been persuaded." He says, "I know this to be true, that he who began a good work in you," the he is God. He who began this good work, and this good work is not just their salvation, because it is true that God brings us to himself. That's the great work of God, that he saves mankind. He takes man who is lost and going his own way and brings mankind back to himself. But that's the beginning. The one who began this good work in you will continue it. He continues to work through their lives until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began a good work, salvation, and continuing to use them, he will use it all the way to the end. He says, "I am confident that he, God, who began this good work, your salvation and your service, he will continue this thing." In fact, he will, as this passage says, he will bring it to this perfection until the day of Christ. And the word perfection there literally means to a completion. God is going to continue to use them. Listen, it is true. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, God began a good work in us because he brought us to himself. He, in a sense, brings you and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he makes you his child, and he sets you apart, and he gives you spiritual gifts, and then he's going to continue to use you until his plan for your life is over. The one who began this good work will continue it, but bring it to completion. God is working in your life now. And Paul says, you know, "I'm very confident of this, that not only the Philippians, they've been helping from the very beginning, God is going to continue to use them." And the same is true for us. By the way, it's God who does the work. It's God who does the work in us. We put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, in the power of the Holy Spirit, God through us. He is the one working. We're going to see it a little bit later on in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14, and that part in there, where he says, "For it is God who works in you both the will and the work of his good pleasure." It is God working out through our lives. And so he says, "I'm confident that the one who started all this will keep it going, will bring it to completion." Now Paul says, "I thank God for these Philippians, first of all, because they're partners in the gospel, and I'm confident that God's going to keep using them." That's true for us. Let's look at the second reason for his thankfulness. And it is very simple, that he is thankful they are partners with him in the defense of the faith. Look at verse 7. "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers. You are all partners of grace with me." He says, you not only are you partners in the spread of the message, you are partners as I defend the faith. I want you to see this. Now, before he starts talking about that, he tells them how much he loves them. He's just going to mention it in verse 7 and even more detail in verse 8. I want you to see how he starts off verse 7. He says, "It's only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart." And he says, "Only right that I feel this way." What way? Partnership. It's only right that I feel like we're in partners together, that we're in this thing together. Why? "Because I have you in my heart." What that literally is I love you. I have you inside me. I think about you. By the way, the word heart there means their mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He says, "I have you in my mind. I think about you all the time," is what he's saying. He loves them. And that is the key. We got to love one another. Jesus Christ said that they'll know you belong to me by your love for one another. In Galatians, Paul writes, "By love, serve one another." First Peter writes, "Let love cover a multitude of sins." the most important thing we can do is love one another. That is the key. That's how people know we belong to Jesus. That's how we serve. That's how we keep the unity, is the love. He says, I have you in my heart. I love you. Josh McDowell said this. He said, I believe two of the greatest fears people struggle with today are the fear that they will never be loved and the fear that they'll never be able to love. People are seeking meaningful and lasting relationships. People need to be loved. And we who have the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ inside of us, because when we walk in the Spirit, there is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, faithfulness, all of that. We have that kind of love. And Paul says in verse 7, it's only right for me to feel this way about you, this partnership. Why? Because I have you in my heart. I love you. And now he moves to the second thing, and that is, the fact that they are partners in defense of the faith. Notice what he says. It's only right for me to feel this way about you. I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment, I'm in prison in Rome, and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers. You are partners of the grace with me. He says that you defend and confirm the gospel with me. Now, remember, Paul is in prison. He's been in prison for Rome for about almost two years. He's going to be let out pretty soon. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He just says, you're with me in the defense of the faith, because I'm going to stand before the Caesar and I'm going to defend the faith, and you are right there with me. You're partners in that. But he didn't know what's going to happen. But you know what he says later on? We'll see it in Philippians chapter 2 and on. He says, look, the most important thing is that I stand for Jesus Christ, and that whether it's in my life or my death, that he is glorified. Because see, the greatest thing that could happen to me is die. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I don't know what the thing's going to happen to me. He said, but I tell you this, it would be better to die and be with Jesus Christ. However, to be with you is probably the best thing. He says, so I'll probably get out of here and get to be with you. He said, but I don't know. And all I care about is I defend the faith so that Jesus Christ is glorified, whether it's my life or my death. That's what he says in Philippians 2. And he writes to these guys. He says, listen, you are with me in the defense and the confirmation of the faith. And every one of us together, we are in this thing together. You're not by yourself when you go out these doors. We're in the body of Christ. We love one another. We got different gifts and talents. We are there for each other. And when you go out in that hostile workforce and that hostile world, you are not by yourself. You are with each other in the defense and the confirmation of standing for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, it's only right for me to feel this way about you. I have you in my heart because in my imprisonment, you are there in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Of the faith. You're partners with me. He uses two key words there in verse 7. He says the defense and confirmation. The word defend is the word we talked about right at the very start of the message when we talked about apologia. It means to give an answer. We know that we're to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We must know what we believe and why we believe it. If you're going to go out into this community and defend the faith, you got to know what you believe. You got to be able to stand. You got to be able to say, wait a minute. The gospel is right here. This is what the gospel is. This is our message. This is what's right. We've got to be able to do that. He says not only the defense, but the confirmation. And the word confirmation literally means to show it's true, to be a valid witness. We are to defend and show the truth of God's word. And we are partners together in that. Paul says that these guys were partners with him. And he says, I thank God that the Philippians are partners as he stands for Jesus Christ. May we be ready to stand for Jesus Christ. Now, how can you be ready? You're going to have to know the Scripture. And how can you do that? Well, we have those 412s classes that we talk about, those little small groups that you can get in where you can get the foundations of the truth so you can be ready. We also teach the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, our Sunday school classes. All those kind of things are opportunities that you can get together with other believers and you can understand the Scripture so you can be ready to defend your faith. So he says, I thank God for you. First of all, you're partners in sharing the message. You're partners in defending the faith. As we end this little section this morning, he talks about his love for them. He's already mentioned it in verse 7. He says, I have you in my heart. But I want you to see what he says in verse 8. He says, for God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. For God is my witness. He says, God knows. God knows what I really feel. God knows what I really think. He says, how I long for you. And that is a very powerful word. It's one of the strongest Greek words for emotion. It's the same word in 1 Peter 2:2 that says, as a newborn babe, desire the milk of the word, long for the milk of the word. He says, I long for you. And I want you to think about something. Here is old Paul. Think about him, the former religious hypocrite, Pharisee, now loving the former pagan Gentiles. He says, I love you. See, only God can do that. Only God can take two groups of people who hate each other and make them love each other. Every one of us in this room are different. We got different personalities, different backgrounds, different way we think, different we do things differently. And yet, because of Jesus Christ and the love that He has for us and the fact that we're in the body of Christ, we can love each other. And He says this. He says, God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The word affection is sort of a strange word for us because when we think of love, we think of the heart. Oh, I love her. I love him. But that's not the way they looked at it. In fact, that's not even the word that was used there. They used a different word. It was the word for bowels. It was the word for insides. In fact, it was literally the word for kidneys. And so he says, with my kidneys, I love you. I have affection from my kidneys. In fact, I have the kidneys of Jesus Christ is what he literally says. Because that to them was the sum. It's like, they'd say, every part of me, I long to see you. He says, I love you with a Christ-like love. That's what he says, with the affection of Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe says this. This is Christian love. It's not Paul's love channeled through Christ. It is Christ's love channeled through Paul. And we can love one another in the way that God wants us to love one another. Not in our own human power, but through God's power through us, through the love of God, through the love of Jesus Christ through us. What are we saying? Paul thanks God for these Philippians. He says, I pray for you. He says, I thank you for the partnership. First of all, our partnership in spreading the message, the good news. And then second, our partnership in the defending the faith, the good news, the truth of God's word. He ends the little section by saying, and I love you with a Christ-like love. Let me give you some applications as we close this off this morning. The first one is very obvious, and that is let's love one another. As believers, we're to love one another with the love of Jesus Christ, and that comes as God comes through us. It's not going to be our own love, because the human love just can't do it that way. It's the love of Jesus Christ through us. There are people in this room that need to be loved. Well, the truth is, every one of us in this room need to be loved. And we need the love of each other. And so as believers, let's reach out and love. There's people you don't even know. Take the time to invest in their lives. Love is an action. Love is not a feeling. Love has feelings with it, but it is not a feeling. It is an action. Love is something that you do. So let's love one another. Second thing is just realize we're in the ministry together. As the body of Christ, we have the privilege of working together, of serving God together. What a unity. You know, we think about the unity. Like I read this little poem. Think about this. It says, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be grace and glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. And that's true. And yet with the love of Jesus Christ and realize that we're in partnership together, we have the privilege of serving God. What can we do? First of all, we can help send people places we can't go. We can't. Most of us are not going to go to Estonia where Pete is. But you are helping Pete Kelly be in Estonia representing Jesus Christ. Some of you can't go to Mexico like the B. Halls. Some of you can't go to Sri Lanka like the Matthews. But you are helping spread that message and send them there. Did you know there are people in our church that on a daily basis you can't go onto the campus and touch the lives of college students. But there are people in our church who you are helping go onto that campus on a daily basis and touch lives for Jesus Christ. That's the partnership. There's a second part to it. And that is personally and individually we share our faith. Be ready to tell other people about Christ. Now, you may say, it's kind of scary. It is scary. It's a spiritual battle. It's never not going to be scary. If you're waiting till it's not scary, you will wait for the rest of your life. It'll always be scary because it's a spiritual battle. But you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And you can go with that message into this community, individually to people, one-on-one, leading them to Jesus Christ. Be found faithful to do it. If you're not sure of the message, if you're not sure what to say, call me. I'll get you in a 412 or I'll get with you individually. I'll make sure that you have confidence to share your faith. So we send people and we tell people ourselves. There's a third application, and that is, let's be ready to defend the faith. Be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that is within us. The only way we can do that is study the Bible and to know the Scripture and to be able to apply it in our lives. And that's why get in a 412 or come to Sunday school or get in your own personal Bible study or do all of them. In fact, do them all And that's my prayer for each one of us in this room, that we will study the Scripture and dig it so that we can know it. And as I said a while ago, are you ready to defend your faith? And if you say, I don't think I am. I think if some of those questions were asked to me, I'm not sure I could answer them. Well, if you're not sure, if you're not confident, once again, get with me. I'll get you in a 412, or I'll get with you. And we'll make sure that you feel confident, because what you must do is dig the Scripture and know it and live it out in your life and pass it on to others. May we love one another with the love of Jesus Christ as we serve together, proclaiming the good news and defending the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage. Thank you for your love to us. Lord, may we love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray we'll do that. We'll reach out to each other with that love. Lord, also I pray that, that we'll realize that we're in partnership. First of all, partnership in the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this church to have a part in sending people to different places to tell others about Christ. And then, Lord, thank you that as we scatter out in this community, you will use us to tell people about Christ. May we be faithful to do that. Finally, Lord, help us to know your word. Help us to dig your word, and help this church be a church that makes disciples, that helps people to know what they believe and why they believe it, so that we can be found faithful to proclaim Jesus Christ and to stand for the truths of God's word. Thank you for this morning, and thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.